Loving God, we thank you for being with us this morning. And as we stop and consider these your words, we ask you to speak to our hearts and our minds in Jesus' name. Amen. The Easter season invites you and I to adopt a very reflective stance when we consider how we live and work with the resurrection of Jesus having occurred in our lives. What is different because it has happened? How is it different because it has happened? If nothing is different, why is that? What has changed in us? To that end, I wonder if you have ever done something boldly or passionately in the name of Jesus. There are a lot of instances to choose from for some of you where you have lived out your faith in a way that speaks for itself. Those times are powerful. They are transformational. They are the substance of what we share together when we're in this place of God at work in our lives. Over and over again, we share stories of God breaking through or something powerful and transformational happening from God to us and out into the world. In that moment, when that thing happens, whatever it might be, any potential cost you might incur, either socially or emotionally, personally, is left behind. And you seem to run unabashed, unafraid, towards the faithful goal. In that action, you display tremendous faith. And as it happens, you might even realize that faith is running deeper in me than I thought when I did it. Maybe you might even be a little bit proud, you're allowed to be, of a moment of faith where you've displayed great faith that seemed to bubble up from nowhere. Perhaps in that moment you join others who have affirmed from time to time, "I didn't even know I had it in me." We've all done that, you see. We have all lived in that way, a way that exceeded our faithful expectation. And today I am here to tell you that God notices that, and God does not want the joy of Easter morning to stop just because today is not Easter. But keep that idea in mind, or that moment fresh with you today. Don't let it fade just yet. Upon reflection, you've got that idea still, remember it. Upon reflection, after the event or the moment is in the rearview mirror, maybe you might even think, where you were proud of the faith before, you might even begin to think, "Wow, that's just out of character for me. Where did the passion come from?" The longer your mind lingers in that place of reflection, it is easier and easier for yourself to say, "I should not have done that at all. That was a great step of faith, but when I look at it, what am I doing in this moment?" So then with a chance to repeat, that choice happens again. Although it was a great moment of transformation, whatever it is for you, you hesitate. You hide. You stay away. You hold back because what you did in the first place, while wonderful and in God's name, is so out of character, it is almost spiritually dangerous to do it again. You ever wonder where the boldness or passion, that faith went? It was here today and gone tomorrow. If you've ever wondered like that, as you've sort of gone with me through a reflection such as this, then you are in good company. And our gospel lesson should be quite helpful for you. Not just because it's the story of Thomas the doubter, but it is helpful because before Thomas doubted, every single one of the disciples wondered, "Where are we going? Where are we going?" So let's step into the text this morning together. It is Easter morning in John chapter 20. The Marys have visited the tomb to be with Jesus, just to be with him. They don't expect him to be raised yet, remember. They have found it empty, and they frantically go and tell the remaining disciples what they've discovered, what has happened. That great stone is rolled away. They went there just to be near his physical body. Remember that. And they found something exceeded everything they thought was happening. So what do? They run. Peter and the other disciples in John 20 verses 2 and 3, we hear John tell us they run passionately toward the tomb to see if the Marys are telling the truth. They're so excited that they likely miss the fact that Jesus is standing near them in the garden, but that's for another reflection. They run. I wonder what makes us run so wildly toward our own expression of the empty tomb that we might just miss what's happening around us. While the question may seem unnecessary today as we continue to live in a world of social distancing and work furloughs, it is instead very important for us to think about. Something, some defining trait lives in us as it did in the disciples in John 20. To such a degree that when the good news of the empty tomb reached their or our ears, we are so encouraged by what we believe this means that we leave everything behind, that we race to see what happened. We run wildly, passionately to that single place, and we join the congregation in singing and affirming a God who cannot be defeated. A death that does not have the final word. Our redemption is won for us in Christ's agonizing work on the cross. A God who triumphs over death is once again with us. A God who single-handedly hung on the cross. A God who experienced such tension between his humanity and divinity that it physically breaks his body. We run to that moment because we are that joyous. Hope is exploding in your chest in that moment as you're running and cannot hold back. Like the disciples in the text, we run passionately toward God. As you can tell by my energy, this is not a casual question to consider. If we were once bold enough to run toward what God is doing and now find that we are not, something has changed. Something is different. And isolating that different, that feeling, that change is important. We were once overjoyed. Last week, we were very joyous at the resurrection. But did it fade? This is specifically where we pick up in our text today. In John 20:19, we learn that those bold, running disciples, the ones who ran passionately through the streets of the holy city of Jerusalem after Jesus' resurrection account finds their ear from the Marys, those same disciples did not worry about the consequences of those who arrested, tried, tortured, and killed Jesus. They ran through the city with those people still in the city towards the tomb in the garden. They did not worry about anything except seeing the tomb. Now they're hiding behind a locked door. Just linger on that moment idea with me for a moment. Those disciples did not worry about the social, political, spiritual aspect of running toward the garden where Jesus' physical body was laying. They did not worry about the cost to be paid for being seen as followers of Jesus. Some, one in particular as we know, even denied him. They didn't care about that. They ran to Jesus. Now in our text, they're behind a locked door, afraid to go outside. And so this change in mindset has to be addressed, not just for them, but for us. Once there was boldness, and now there is not. Once there was passion, now there is fear. I wonder if you found yourself today wondering where your faithful boldness has gone now that Easter is past and life has begun to go back to its normal rhythms, even if the normal rhythms this year don't feel very normal. Another way to consider the question is, what's holding us back? The answer is deep, and it can be strong. More than just sinful choices or sinful thoughts, when we start to unpack what holds us back in this way, we find a complexity eroding what we thought was unshakable. We ran to Jesus. You and I both did it. We sang loudly. We were passionate. Now, not as much. Consider what holds us back, what holds you back behind a locked door. The obvious application of this idea is revealed as we address that change from passionately running towards God to choosing to hide behind a locked door, afraid of what could happen to us if that great display of faith that we started with this morning, that you've lived with before, that you've practiced and exercised, doesn't happen again. Not one of us says we will find it easier or more appealing to hide our faith from others. Our choices say that loudly for us. Recapturing the joy and the passion of Easter is necessary. It should not be. We should always be passionate about what Christ has done for us, not just on the cross, but by coming out of the empty tomb. His resurrection should change us. But you and I are fallen. Finding moments where the mystery and the wonder of the resurrection transform us is not and should not be limited to just high church holidays. We behave like Peter, like Thomas. We doubt when we should believe. We deny when we shouldn't. We might even doubt loudly and passionately when some are around, and practice faith when others are there. Further, we did not choose to have this isolation heaped upon us, but it is here, and it does offer us time now in the Easter season to reflect. In the case of the disciples, the reflecting time worried them. I think it scared them. It told them that boldly running through the streets to the garden was a dangerous thing, so you should hide yourselves, hide your faith, even though they didn't worry about being arrested on Easter. They didn't worry about who saw their faith. They just went. They used their time away from the rest of the world negatively, and it created a space where they could rationalize hiding. I wonder if this time could be used by you to reflect on what made you joyous, what makes you joyous before the empty tomb. I wonder if, given the chance, you would hide that boldness and put it away for another high church holiday. Pentecost is coming. We're not there yet. Hide it under the guise of being busy, of wanting to return to normal, of lessons and schoolwork. And by doing so, the impact of the resurrection on your life is diminished. And you run the risk of falling into Thomas's world of doubts, of Peter's world denying, instead of the Mary's world of running to Jesus and being present with him. Will you choose to let the passion and joy of Easter fade? Will you let yourself go from one moment of adulation and instead fall into the ruts of hiding your faith so that no one will see it, no one will question it, and no one will learn from it? Where are you going today? Let us pray together. Loving God, we are thankful to be together as your church. We are thankful to have your words before us to consider, to reflect upon, to meditate upon, and as we do so, to be changed by. Help us each today and through the rest of this week to find those places where we were passionate, faithful, bold. Now we are not, and help us to recapture the joy and the passion of Easter. So in Jesus' name, we ask this together. Amen. I invite you, in response to God's word, to stand, whether you are at home or whether you are in the sanctuary, as we together in one voice confess the truth we have come to believe, using the Apostles' Creed, which is found in your bulletins that was sent this week. Let us confess what we have come to believe. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The second hymn together is number 473 in your packet or in the red hymnal. It is Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. Let us worship the Lord in song. You are standing, you may be seated. As we come to share our joys and our concerns together, I'm going to move here real quick so that my blind eyes or my bifocal eyes can see what I'm doing this morning. To share what God has been doing in our life, I want to share a couple of things with you today. First, I want to share, this is where I see God at work, so we're going to share my screen, and it's also a joy for us. There it is. Look at that. There we go. Not the dog in the picture, don't worry. That's John Mark getting Luna to sit there for him. But it's a picture of the prayer chapel that John Mark has been working on as part of his senior project. For those familiar with the woods, you'll recognize the trail is off on the right. It's just over the edge of the hill there.
I don't think, Ron, you haven't seen that yet, so if you...
No.
Can you see it up on there?
I'm looking at that one.
Okay, cool. I want to make sure everybody can see it. Who wants to see it, if you're in the congregation and want to see it, please come on up and take a look. Jacob says he can't wait to look. He's excited about this. But there it is. More benches are being planted. All of the wood chips, and this is another one of the God moments, all the wood chips were donated by a friend of Jennifer's who worked in her doctor's office. He works for a tree removal service, her husband. And he said, come and get it. You can take whatever you want. And so we used Denny's trailer, which was a blessing. And we filled up his trailer and the back of my truck. And we brought more wood chips than I have ever seen. The pile was about 20 feet high. So there's more there if we need them. And more benches will be put in. And we'll be able to use that as part of our VBS, if we do any outdoor worship things. If anybody wants to use that space as a little chapel. That decking is very secure and solid. You can stand on it. I may or may not have jumped once just to be on the safe side there. They're anchored with concrete. And so that is where I see God at work in the work that our church has done. In the midst of social distancing and the things that go on there, God is still with us. And now we need to move from one technological thing to another. As I pull up my Facebook real quick, my Facebook Messenger, the other place I have seen God at work this week, which I want to share with you, and I'd love to try to share the screen, but I'm just not that good at it yet, so we're getting there, so I'll read it to you, is I received this week a message from Dipendra over in Nepal, and I'll just read it for you verbatim here. He says, Pastor Derek, how are you? World is infected by coronavirus, even Nepal.
We are praying more for America. May our God give safe and protection in your family and in your church, Dipendra. And so I sent him a little note back, sort of explaining to him what's going on in our church's life with the coronavirus and how we've been forced to sort of, everybody stay at arm's length from each other. I haven't heard back from him because one of the things that Don told me was that when you talk with some of them, they tend to be very matter of fact. You know, I need to go to the store, I must buy milk, I'm going to the store and buying milk. They're very matter of fact. And so Dipendra is communicating what he wanted, read what he saw last night, and so we haven't seen a response. And I'm up here from the front writing down prayer concerns, which are coming in privately to me and otherwise, and we'll be sharing those in a moment. So I encourage you to find a space to be joyous this week and note where God is at work in your life and the life of your church. As we come to the time to share joys and concerns, we had a concern come privately forward, and we will lift that concern to the Lord today. I also received emails this week. Let me pull them up here. Emails and phone calls from Jim and Betty. They were updating us on Susie, who had some symptoms of the coronavirus. And this morning, the email says, I talked with her today. Her fever is down, and if it stays down for 3 days, her doctor says she can leave quarantine. We are so thankful for all of the prayers. Love, Jim and Betty. And so we are thankful, and we will pray that the fever stays down. The other one I got, there it is, the other prayer concern I got came from the During family, asking for prayers for Bert's friend Ed, who has cancer. The email says, Ed is pleasant and quite hopeful around Bert's home workshop. Please keep him in your prayers as he goes through through the cancer treatments that are coming. And I see another one has come forward here, so let me see if it's here. Janelle shared a joy with us. I'm going to write and talk at the same time, so hope I can do that. She said, when Chris let the dogs out this morning, he said he could hear church music all around him. And that is a joy, to be sure. In a time when we can't be together, we can be thankful for that. So we give God praise for that. And now we're going to walk back up front again, which is good. Julie and Steve asked for prayers this morning, and so we will keep them in our prayers as they go through their time. Are there other, this is the last chance that anyone has to share any joys and concerns virtually, and so we'll give you a moment for that, and I'll ask anyone in the congregation, is any wrong?
Prayers for my father, John McClelland, who has just a long, long list of health problems over the last several months, has finally... My sister and John's wife have made the decision to have him placed in the hospice.
We will keep him and his family in our prayers today. Thank you.
The other concern that we had is Amy is having surgery this Thursday, and we will keep her in our prayers. Are there any other joys and concerns to share? Then let us be the church in prayer. Gracious God, as we come to this part of our service to notice how you are present and where you are at work, we are thankful. We are thankful because you are with us. We can sense it and hear it like Chris. We hear the music everywhere. Speaking of a God who is active, present, working, not distant from us as we have to be from each other. And we are thankful to be together as the church. We are thankful to hear as well that Susie's fever is coming down, and if it stays down, she can leave quarantine and resume her life. We give you thanks for that, for answering that prayer that we have offered in her name and for her. We think of Bert's friend Ed going through cancer treatments. And we thank you to hear that he is well in the midst of the treatments. It can be frightening and it can be scary, but he has a God who is with him that will take care of him. So we commit Ed to you today. We think of Amy getting ready for surgery this week. We pray that as that gets closer, that you would be with her, give her peace, give her family comfort and strength in the recovery which is to follow. We think of Julie and Steve going through a difficult time of their own, asking you to be with them, to heal their hearts, to strengthen them together as they go through the time of grief. We think of Ron's father, John, who has been placed in hospice, and we pray that as hospice comes around and cares for him, that they would sense and feel your presence there. For each of these needs and concerns, we lift them to you. We trust you to be present in their lives, to heal and to restore. And now hear us together, Lord, in one voice as we offer you the first prayer, which you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, everyone, for sharing your joys and your concerns with us. Even though it's virtual, we are together as the church as we go through these difficult times. Our sending hymn is number 244 in the red hymnal. It is Come Thou Almighty King. Let us worship the Lord. Please stand as you are able. Please bow your heads for the blessing. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Alleluia and amen. This will conclude our virtual service. You can feel free to unmute yourselves if I haven't unmuted you already, which I can't because my phone is in the way. I can't see it. And spend some time greeting one another.
There they are.
Sounded good here. Okay.
We got
Bye.
Good night.